It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you?
Morena, good. I'm still trying to get out of long weekend mode, actually. It was lovely to have the weather.
It was a gorgeous one.
It was a pretty good day for Auckland too, with the seaport down on the wharves and laneways and all sorts of things happening around the city. So felt a good time to be an Aucklander, really.
A very good time to be an Aucklander. Hey, we're talking about some big topics that will be relevant to Aucklanders this morning. Let's touch back on Ihu Matau, because it's been a wee while since we've talked to you about this, and there's been a little bit of action in the last couple of weeks. We're hearing that there might be a resolution happening before Waitangi Day. Does this still seem to be the case from where you see it, Phil?
Always reluctant to put deadlines on these things because the discussions will take as long as the discussions need to take. And there's lots of different views, obviously, between political parties, between different groups in Mana Whenua and across the community. But we said right from the beginning and passed a resolution in council back in July last year that while we weren't at the centre of the problem, which was a dispute essentially over land rights and treaty issues, we would do what we could to facilitate a settlement working with Kingitanga, which in turn represents Mana Whenua, and with the Crown. And we've been in discussions largely at a staff level since just before Christmas. And some progress has been made that I think is quite significant, but there's further meetings through this week. But until those meetings have come to a conclusion, it's a little bit hard to say what the time frame will be. But for all of us, I think this is a potential to be a hugely divisive issue. Let's see what we can do to find common ground. Finding consensus is usually pretty damn hard in these things, but let's see if we can find a way through that brings the community together rather than divides it. And that's what the discussions are endeavouring to do. So Kingitanga involved at the centre of those discussions. They in turn communicate to the Mana Whenua and have had some discussions with the Soul group. The Crown is represented there and Council is represented there. So as soon as there is a common agreement that can be reached, then there'll be an announcement. And of course, whatever the proposal is, I'll need to take it back to the governing body to seek their agreement for it. And obviously the government negotiators will need to take it back to their cabinet to see if they've got agreement for it.
So it sounds like definitely wheels are moving at the moment.
Yeah, look, I'm reasonably positive about it, but I'm an optimist in life always. And I know, some positive comments had come out of Kingitanga and out of the Soul group. And there's been a variety of views issued from the government level and obviously different perspectives on it at that level too. So those things need to be sorted through. But just taking our time to try to get it right, to try to find as much common ground as possible and, to avoid a standoff and to acknowledge the fact that, what's special about this site is, I guess, it's probably the oldest area of habitation in Tamaki Makaurau. It goes back 800 years, and that's always going to be, something special from the viewpoint of Mana Whenua.
Well, let's talk a little bit about ferries now. You've been quite critical of Fuller's recently, calling some of their traffic around the cruise ship area unacceptable, especially how it regards cancellations of regular services for Auckland ferries. What are you frustrated by this?
Well, first of all, it came as a bit of a surprise because cruise liners have been coming in for a very long time, and this was the first time that Fuller's had signalled publicly, or to me, and I only heard it through the media, that they were cancelling ferry crossings because of cruise liners berthing. Now, cruise liners have to berth before 7:30 in the morning, and generally they are in at the berth by around 7 o'clock. Fuller's had made a statement, and, I think safety is a paramount issue, so always take seriously any claim that there are safety concerns. The harbour master, on the other hand, had gone out and observed it for himself from a small boat perspective and said, No, he didn't think that there were safety factors involved, and Auckland Transport took the view that the harbour master had taken. And so there we were, you know, council and members of the public alike, I think, hearing so-called experts saying opposite things. Mm. And I found that pretty frustrating. So I said, well, you know, this has got to stop. I called a meeting where we had the harbour master there, we had Fuller's there, we had Auckland Transport there, we had Ports of Auckland there, elected representatives from Waiheke and from the local ward and the local member of parliament, mm-hmm. and said, I want you guys to stop firing shots at each other through the media. I want you to come together and I want you to say three things. First of all, what are the appropriate safety parameters for the ferries when the cruise liners are berthing, because you're saying different things? Are you making a recommendation that the restrictions on cruise liner berthing should be extended, you know, maybe back to 7 o'clock or 6:30? And you guys need to sit and communicate to each other rather than firing long-range shots at each other. Mm-hmm. And so I said, I want the harbour master to convene a working group and I want you guys to come back having reached a decision and to report back on the decisions that you collectively, the views that you have collectively arrived at to elected representatives as soon as possible. Now, you know, all of that seems to me as a matter of common sense, and I don't know why
right.
we didn't begin there rather than me having to call the groups together to get them there.
It seems to be we quite often come back to talking about, I guess, Fuller's engagement with the public here, because there are quite rightly a lot of frustrated people who rely on ferry services to get to their jobs or wherever they need to be. Do you think we need to be having a broader conversation about that kind of transport and how much is available and its frequency?
Yeah, well, due to changes I think Stephen Joyce made back some years ago, they are regarded as an exempt service and they don't come under the jurisdiction of Auckland Transport. And the current government is looking at that at present and may make some changes to that in the course of this year. But really, I'm simply saying, you know, even though it's a private service, it is a public form of transport, and we need to coordinate what relevant authorities are deciding to do and to ensure mm-hmm. that we get safe travel and we don't deal with the sort of cancellations and the frustrations that commuters have been facing. And I just, you know, the risk of repeating myself, I felt really frustrated. The first I found out about it was reading it in the paper,
right.
and that the parties hadn't got together but were each making separate public comments about it. Well, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to say that doesn't make sense. Why don't you guys get your heads together and tell us, using the expertise that you collectively possess, mm-hmm. what the situation actually is and how we might need to change it. And that's what I've asked them to do, and that's what I'm expecting them to come back to me on.
Well, speaking of transport, let's talk a little bit about the Auckland City Rail Link, which we've of course talked to you about in the past, but I just wanted to touch back on it and see where the hardship fund that we spoke to you a few months ago about is at, and what's sort of happening with that for businesses who are affected by all of the construction.
Mm. Well, you know, first of all, to put it in context, generally there is no compensation from public authorities because disruption is caused by public works, and you know, that's been over successive governments for time immemorial. And in the instance of Albert Street, I was a bit concerned because with the remediation of Albert Street, as well as putting the CRL in, talking to people representing some of the small businesses down there, I understood that there were some examples of quite significant hardship. And that was because in this particular project, the time taken was significantly longer than originally signalled.
Right.
So CRL, City Rail Link Limited, is responsible for managing this, and it has joint ownership by council and by government.
Mm-hmm.
Government, I think, was reluctant to jump into this, and I understand why, because, you know, they start saying, well, we'll be providing compensation for public works across the country, yet that's going to be, you know, potentially hundreds of millions of dollars on the taxpayer.
Mm.
But we got to a position where government and council agreed to give the go-ahead to the City Rail Link Limited to set up a hardship fund on this particular instance, focused, targeted on the fact that there'd been a longer than predicted delay in the completion of the project, and targeted at small businesses. We set some broad parameters late last year and said to CRLL, you go away now and you operationalise that. They've gone away and operationalised it. They've said it, they've worked within the guidelines given by government and council. And probably predictably, some people who may be outside those guidelines have said, oh, this isn't good enough. Mm-hmm. And they've come back to government and council, and I've simply said, we've set the parameters. If there's something wrong with the way that it's being operationalised, you go and talk directly to City Rail Link Limited. But, you know, there will be some, you know, I predict probably some millions of dollars that will be paid out in hardship, but it will be targeted on small businesses facing significant hardship. And other businesses that I know that have spoken out and have been aggrieved by the loss of custom, mm-hmm. I've said to them, but hey, you know, you service clientele from the New Zealand Herald, NZME, across the road from you. They've closed across the road. Some hundreds of people have shifted to another part of the city. And, you know, part of your business loss is because they've moved. And by the way, you bought these premises knowing that this disruption work was happening. But also, by the way, you know, when it's finished, that's going to be a real boom to you because the pavements are going to be far more people-friendly. You're going to have transport up underneath the street. And in the medium term, you're going to do really well out of it. So sometimes you know, and if you've got a short-term problem, also talk to your landlord, because your landlord is making a fortune out of the fact that the ratepayer and the taxpayer are investing in, you know, $4.3 billion in this project, and they're going to get a hell of a big capital gain. So they should be a little bit flexible while the work's going on. With if you can't meet your rent because there's disruption at the time, you know, maybe they've got to come to the party as well. And I've expressed all of those views publicly before.
Right.
And all I'm saying now to the small businesses, look, I understand your concerns, and, you know, any form of disruption affects council here, you know. We've got to work our way around the stuff, and when it moves on past into Wellesley Street, it'll affect us some more.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that's part and parcel of development work. We feel a bit of pain in the short term to get the real benefits that will be long term. But you know, I thought the guidelines that we'd sent did provide, for the first time ever, some degree of support for businesses that were facing hardship because of disruption.
Well, unfortunately, that might be all we have time for this morning, Mayor Phil Gough, but we really appreciate you chatting to us, as you do every Tuesday. I hope you had a nice long weekend.
Pleasure. And I hope everybody enjoys their short week.
Thank you. We'll speak to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Gough.
It's